Hello, and welcome to the Mondays on Tuesdays podcast. I'm going to talk today about the case for rebuilding. And when I say the case for rebuilding, I'm talking mostly about the business world. My window into that is through software, because that's the expertise that I have the most. And I am building a sort of new language tools runtime that I expect to have the sort of, you know, potency to launch some teams, launch some products, you know, do some stuff. And it's looking at this point like it actually has that power. It has the power for me to build a product or two that has significant, you know, traction, interest, and then that can serve as kind of a business model to build a bunch of teams and get people back to work, and then also get people back to work in clients where, you know, accounting software or internal communication software that helps people, you know, make money. Talked a bit on the podcast before about the sort of realness and fakeness of money, and real money being when you buy something that helps you make money, or, you know, gives you a satisfying experience or meal that you then are reinvigorated to go, you know, make more money. I think that, you know, when you buy something that you kind of have to, or it's the only one around, or it doesn't really do the trick, and you're kind of like losing out on the deal, that's kind of the fakeness of money to me. But I'm also going to talk a bit about some recent, I wouldn't really say political things, even though it is about, you know, the American government. But the reason I'm talking about that mostly is because I'd like to form a bit of a background for what I think comes next after America kind of heals its sort of political ails. And for me, it's all about rebuilding a business world that can sustain everything, and the idea that I think we're just really behind on how to run businesses and that kind of thing. So I'll get into that, hopefully all in an exciting way, because my general feeling about kind of everything is that it's a lot simpler than people think it is. Accounting, business responsibility, how to bootstrap a business, software itself, kind of life itself. But simple doesn't mean easy. You know, at times the simplest is the hardest. Like, I remember a story about a B.B. King concert. B.B. King's a really, really, really talented jazz musician. And he had a sort of what I would call a fancy guitarist open for him. And this fancy guitarist came on and was rocking the scales and moving all this crazy stuff, all these, like, music theory, you know, arpeggios, all this crazy stuff. And then B.B. King comes on stage and just plays one note and holds it with, like, a little bit of a vibrato, and the crowd goes nuts. And it just kind of goes to show that, like, the simple things can actually be the hardest things and the most valuable things. And the reason I want to talk just a touch about politics, which is, it's basically because I feel like it's great that we have this, like, new criminality bent on, like, you know, put everybody in jail. But the question is, what comes next? Who is going to actually run things after that, you know, in the government and in the business world? And I think that we're kind of seeing a situation where sort of the traumas of the occupation of Minnesota has now touched every corner of American life, every demographic, every group, all across all political spectrums. And it's very sad that the tragedy had to extend into those many groups. But I guess now that it has, we're starting to see, you know, some people be reassigned or lose their jobs. I won't go into specifics. There's, you know, plenty of news around the internet if you want it. But the question that I have is, like, what's next? And how did we get here? And I think we got here because the small business community was not healthy enough to provide alternatives to the big business community. And the big business community wasn't healthy enough to provide stable employment. And you add those two things together, you know, you got a whole bunch of unhealthy people in a pretty unhealthy society. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about how to build back and how the small business community can do that. So if you're super down these days, as I am, and kind of everyone I know is, it's just this weird feeling living in America of like this heartbroken, like, oh my God, like people are getting killed on the street by federal officers, and, you know, kind of a like, to everyone who ever said it can't happen here, it's happened here, you know, to everyone who said, you know, corruption, like what happens in those other countries. Well, you know, now we have corruption. And I think that the business world is generally viewed with a sort of similar, what I would call American unnecessary optimism lens, kind of like, you know, those experts in the business world, they must know what they're doing. Those universities, they must know what they're doing. And I think they don't. And the reason I think they don't is because when I learn something, like when I want to know why water saute food doesn't taste as good, even though it's better for you. Sorry if someone's really into water saute. So water saute is the concept of when you're cooking, not using oil because it's not so healthy for you. It, you know, all temperatures, all varieties, you know, we're water-based beings. It's not super wonderful. And so water saute is where you put just enough water in the pan so that your food will not burn and you mix your spices that way. It's the phase of building up, you know, a sauce or a base flavor that is usually done with oil. The reason it is usually done with oil, to the best of my understanding, at least this is through my experimentation, is because water has this really amazing ability to balance out the temperature, meaning above around 220 degrees Fahrenheit, the energy will convert into evaporation, and so it will actually stabilize the temperature of the pan to around 220, no matter what the burner is set at, no matter what the sort of convection properties of the pan are. As it gets above that temperature, the evaporation is absorbing the energy and keeping it at a pretty consistent temperature. Oil has a very different evaporation or burn point, usually like between, you know, 350 to sort of 450 degrees, depending on if it's, you know, olive or canola or coconut or, you know, what you can look them up. They have different ranges. And so what this means is that that first step of cooking, where you have certain, you know, seed-based spices, black pepper or celery seed that can handle a high heat without burning, goes in the oil, maybe with onions and garlic or sort of, you know, whatever flavors you want on a really, really high heat to extract flavor quickly. And then you add, or at least I do add, water and spices, or at times at this point, actually add alcohol, which will, you know, vodka will, you know, create a vodka sauce. It's interesting. But the water saute concept is that you can cook without oil, but it also does not extract flavor as quickly because it just doesn't get hot enough. And so the reason I talk about this in the context of the business world is it's really honestly worth understanding that this kind of concept of cooking is not that hard to explain. And when it comes to accounting, you know, the basic statements of, you know, the income statement, you know, the profit and loss, usually called the balance sheet statement, the retained earnings, and then there's a fourth one that I don't always remember, and honestly, supposedly people use a different one, so I won't really go into that. But when you look at these very basic elements of accounting, it kind of tells the story like the way that I told the difference between you know, oil-based flavor building and cooking and water saute, right? You don't need years and years of culinary cooking education to understand that certain spices are going to burn in oil and other spices won't. And I think that that level of practical home cooking knowledge and the level of practical accounting knowledge are in that same space of it's been so common to like defer to a highly educated, highly complicated business class when in reality, accounting is not that complicated. Most of team dynamics of hiring and firing is personal communication, which will always be complicated, and there will never be a shortcut book because it's human behavior. And so, if you can work things out with the people around you, you can be a business leader, right? If you can do like fourth or fifth grade math, you can be an accountant. And that level of basic simplicity is actually, I think, more the truth of our world than the idea that fancy universities and business consultants are a requirement for a business to function. So in the same way that I kind of talk about like, hopefully as the like kind of crazy militaristic destructive sides of, the American government are sort of hopefully winding down a bit. I mean, obviously there's more that needs to happen before it's over, but what's next? And as the business world demonstrates so clearly that it has no idea how to hire, fire in people, build loyalty, or even deliver anything of value to customers, what's next? And what I would say is I have begun viewing the personal skills you need to run a home and, keep your family from all going no contact with each other is to me the sort of simple essence of what it takes to run a business. It's not this idea of there's some other, odd business layer of businessy people, because a business is supposed to have profits and a household is supposed to have savings. And a business is supposed to assign someone to handle every responsibility required in the business. And a household has to work things out, like how the chores are divided or whether or not someone needs to turn the TV down because somebody has to sleep to go to work, or can I quit my job that I hate while you carry the finances, or should I wait till next year while you do a passion project? And what are we looking at 10 years from now? What has to happen, with the education of maybe some of the younger members of the household, or if we have two cars and one breaks down, how do we share that car? Like it's a lot of the same relationship figuring outings between people that I see in business teams. And what I actually usually see across my sort of 15-year software engineer among the most effective teams is that you have the official layer of the business where people have been hired into certain roles. And then you have areas where people have kind of deviated from those roles. Like everybody knows that even though that person has the title, this is the person you go to with questions. Or in order to make sure we don't make a mistake on this project, even though we have to get permission from, the senior product owner, we're first going to go to this engineer who has a picture of how things go because they have a way of selling things to that product owner, and they're the actual decider, even though on paper the decider is, two steps up in the org chart. And so it's kind of like a human nature figures it out kind of thing. And I was reading a fantastic article that I will link to in the India Times. And it was talking about all the various sort of layoffs happening in American companies. And the numbers are so large, and this has been going on for so long, that I think that we can more or less count on business as usual not being around for much longer. And I would say that's not an entirely bad thing if I had confidence in small business education. And the reason I lack confidence in that space is because 9 out of 10 times the question that I get is, how are you going to find customers? How are you going to market it? And there's two reasons that this question really, really, really gets under my skin. The first reason is actually very simple, which is that it's the same question everybody asks. And when everybody asks the same question, I don't know, maybe I'm reading into it a bit too much, but I kind of get this feeling of like, do you ask that question to everybody? Did you hear anything about my business? Are you curious about any specific point? Do you have any way for me to verify that you heard anything I said? Because it sounds like the kind of question that they just like mindlessly ask everyone. How are you going to market it? How are you going to find customers next? How are you going to market it? How are you going to find customers next? So that's the first point of offense for me when I get that question. But the second thing is, it completely skips over having something to give someone in order to get something in return, right? Like it's the idea of no matter what you have, you can talk people into receiving it. And the number that is, thrown around a lot is that, like, only 20% of small businesses succeed and 80% fail. And sometimes it changes to 70-30. And but anyway, the message that even within the small business community people receive is, yeah, it's too hard. It's too hard. Go work for some big person. Too hard, too hard. And I would like to introduce a very sobering fact to this, while we're sort of fact shaming ourselves out of having the courage to start something, I'd like to introduce a very interesting one, which is that, 100% of businesses fail over the span of 500 years. Yeah, it's been proven in the last 500 years that there's no 500-year-old company around. There was one close to that in Japan and went out of business recently. So sad. And I'm not trying to poke at, Japanese business culture. There are many wonderful things about that, and I'm not super familiar with it. I'm trying to poke fun at this idea of the most common message entrepreneurs get is this like weird failure rate that seems to be way too homogenous to even make sense. I mean, how do you measure that? First of all, do we have a clear definition of a small business? Do we have a clear definition of failure? What if the company is put on hold and staff is let go, and then that same person starts the company up in a year after working for someone else? Does that count? Is that in your numbers? Or what if the company was, planning to raise a ton of money and they didn't, but then they raised a whole bunch of money later? Or what if they, actually did, shut down and then reopen? Or what if they were acquired and absorbed into another company and then sold for parts? Is that considered failure or success? Right? Like if the investors got their golden ticket payout, but the company was actually destroyed, which bucket do you put that in? And so there's two things that are weird to me. Number one, how is this like 20 to 30% number so uniform? Who is coming up with these numbers? Because I believe that small businesses are as unique and hard to find as like small independent musicians. And so I'm sorry that like my, 2 decades of watching statistics calls complete bullshit on the accuracy of that number. But the most important thing is it doesn't tell us who are trying to start businesses absolutely anything about what to do. Because at the end of the day, I will be on either side of the success or failure number, no matter what it is. If the success number is 95% and I'm in the 5% of failures, or if the success number is 10% and I'm in the 90% of successes, at the end of the day, I still just have to succeed. So here's how I see rebuilding. Number one, we need a place to talk about skills that is not bound by the sort of obsessive skepticism of titles and resumes, because a lot of people either don't really do what their title says, because human improvisation, you catch the balls as you are juggling them, and oftentimes you walk away from a being at a company for 5 to 7 years having done very different things than what your resume says you did, and then you walk into the next job and you're like, they're like, well, you're qualified for this, and it's like, yeah, but I actually did this stuff. Yeah, but you're not qualified for that. So number one is having a place to talk about skills, rather than everybody becoming a fractional everything. I have this expertise. I'm looking for this kind of company because we're going to need a massive amount of, co-founders finding co-founders. And then number two is in order to weather the service industry, or the services companies ratio, which is basically every company that's not a physical asset, there's going to have to be some type of way of managing bottom-up decisions. What I mean by bottom-up decisions is if you were a, manufacturing company that had a repeatable process, it's reasonable to assume that the person at the top knows how the people at the bottom accomplish what they're doing. But in an idea-based economy, things are shifting so quickly that the people at the bottom must say, here is how the work is done. Here is a better way to do the work. And it doesn't mean that there isn't a trusting relationship with the people above them, because I'm a big believer that you either have to be sitting next to someone working with them in order to know what they're doing, or you have to have trust for them and believe what they say. So when they say this needs to be improved, you got to find a way to trust them. Because if you're not really there next to them, you can't really pick apart what they're saying. And even then, there's got to be an element of trust. But I think trust or participation is kind of an either or thing. So that bottom up decision has got to happen, because otherwise, as a company gets successful, inevitably power will consolidate at the top. They'll become more and more out of touch. And then 10 years from now, all these beautiful, wonderful, brand new small businesses will just topple over with the same sort of like wandering through the dark crap that we're seeing now. And the other thing that I think really, really, really is necessary is a handle on intangible assets. Because, and I know there is a lot of work in this, and I haven't yet read up on this. It was recently that I discovered that, oh wow, a lack of intangible asset accounting explains layoff season. Oh, it also explains agile software development's popularity among business owners. Oh, so I think the intangible asset situation is a really, really, really big deal. And if salary is viewed on paper as flushing money down the toilet as opposed to balance sheet rebalances because intangible asset XYZ have been created, again, we'll start a fantastic small business community and then we'll all deal with the feeling of history repeating as layoff season returns in 2052. So I think these things are really important, but for the most part, I am not a let's keep the show going person. I'm much more of a start over person. I am not happy to say that I believe we are actually moving into a let's start over time period. I think people vary in terms of their desire for do-it-yourselfness, and it saddens me to say I believe that choice is about to be removed from everyone. I think everybody's got to be on the do-it-yourself side for a bit, because there's no other way to catch the falling pieces of the big companies that are crumbling. And I think there's enough of us professionals that have, big ideas, lots of expertise, and can't really find a place to put those skills that I'm hoping we see a resurgence of new American small businesses, because I also think it's necessary to catch the chunks of the big businesses that are falling out of the sky. So I've had a great time meeting people online in, various corners of the country. I haven't yet had an international call, I believe. I know I am connected to a lot of people in the UK, Europe, Australia, and various parts of the world, but so far the time zone craziness has been manageable. But if you would like to chat about this stuff, it is inspiring to me, and hopefully it can be a mutually inspiring exchange. Head over to comparebasic.com, click on the team link, and you can find all kinds of ways to get in touch with me. As always, if you're excited in what I'm talking about here, and also I've heard a few people talk about kind of a skills listing page. So if that's the kind of thing, maybe it would be nice to start a discussion and traction on that. I'm not sure what that looks like, but if you're excited about the things that I do talk about, what sort of this concept is, head over to comparebasic.com, and yeah, I'd love to hear from you. That's all for now.